Friends, it's a privilege to be here with you tonight to share my testimony. And before I start, I just want to thank the church for their support and prayers over the years that we have been in full-time work for him. Are you saved, young fella? That was what an old man who used to be a member of this church used to shout at me every time I passed his front door. His name was Jack Cordner. Many of you will remember Jack. And he used to, every time he walked past, I used to drop my head and walk past him and think to myself, that man needs his head seen to. But as time went on, I began to think about things. God's word says in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mum and dad were both Christians. They went along to the Church of Ireland, St. John's Church of Ireland. And I can remember from a very early age being taught the way of salvation, being taught how to be saved. I went along to church maybe five times on a Sunday. It was difficult to get me out on a Sunday afternoon because Match of the Day was on. It wasn't Match of the Day, it was World of Sport or something like that. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was difficult to get me out on a Sunday. But I always went along and I always heard that I needed to be saved. Another Sunday school teacher who had a lot to do with my life was Sambo Parks, who used to be a postman in the town. Growing up in a Christian home, we were always taught God's word. I used to go along to Sunshine Corner on a Monday night in Lurgan Elam, which was just up from the old Baptist church. And on the last Monday of the month, it was out of Sunshine Corner, down the road, and into Brownlow House, into the castle, to Junior Orange. I was brought up in that type of environment. But the men who taught us in the Junior Orange, LOL, Junior LOL 149, they always said, "Well, you saved." Just couldn't get away with this word where you saved. You need to be born again. And I must admit I fought it for years. And growing up in that, I grew up knowing that I needed to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1977, Dick Saunders came to Lurgan, and he had a big mission in Lurgan Boys Junior High School. And we all went along, and at the end of the meeting one night, there was a whole gang of us went up to the front, and working with CEF afterwards, we were always taught, well, they'll come anyway, and some of the boys will maybe come up just to get the books. And that was me. I just went up to get the freebie. But they made me say the prayer, and I said the prayer, and I got the wee card, and I went back. I still have the little card in the house. I kept it, but it was just something that was, well, it's just something that I needed to do. Growing up, 14, 15, 16, joined the band, Clocker Protestant Boys, then moved on to the Blues and Royals, and joined the Orange Order. Went to see Rangers in Scotland. these boys know a secret, but they're not going to say anything. But I went across on the boat, and I remember getting on the bus in Lurgan and going across and sitting beside a man, and I asked him his name. He told me his name and I told him my name, and his next words was, "Are you saved? I'm going to see a football match here. I don't want to know anything about the Lord Jesus. I don't want to know anything about God." I had it all in my head. And he preached from Larne Harbour to Ibrox Park, and I made sure that when I was coming back I didn't sit in the same seat as him. But it was going in. And then in 1980, I went along to Lurgan Baptist Church and went along to the evening service. After the evening service, I went up to the anchor and Lurgan Junior High School, and Brother Gerald Yute was preaching at the time. He's preaching about the second coming. I don't really know much much about what he said. I can't remember much about what he said, but there was a verse that came back to me. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker, and you're working with young people, God's word says it will not return unto him void, and it won't. And the verse that came into my head that night was, "Choose ye this day who you will serve." And I fought with that. I fought with that outside the anchor, after it was over, after the anchor coffee bar was over. And Brian, my best mate, he's here tonight. The two of us went up to Ronnie's house, and we told Ronnie about what was going on in our life. And Ronnie led us to the Lord. Ronnie led us to the Lord. And the verse that he used was Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I got saved that night. And I want to ask you tonight, maybe you're here and maybe you've been brought up in church. Maybe you're a young person and you've been brought up in church. And you come along on a Sunday night just because your parents want you to come along. Maybe you come along because there's nothing else to do on a Sunday night. Maybe you come along because your friends come along to church on a Sunday night. Maybe, guys, you come along because there's a girl you like here and you just come along. And every Sunday night you hear this glorious gospel. "Accept a man, be born again, till it see the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want to ask you tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? If you're not, you're lost. If you're not, you're lost. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. And you walk out through that door tonight, a saved sinner or a lost sinner. And the decision's yours tonight. After I became got born again into God's family, Ronnie asked us, would we like to work with children? No way, Lord. Please, not children. But we went along to Mournview for a long time, and we taught in the Good News Club up there. And then in 1984, the Lord called me to Bible College, and I went over to the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. And with Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh, every summer they send you somewhere. Now, with my background, you didn't know where you were being sent. And I would have loved to have just done beach missions in Northern Ireland or went over to Scotland or worked in England. But please, Lord, don't send me down south. Please, Lord, don't send me to the south of Ireland. And we're all sitting around the tables. And your name was read out. Andy Burns. Cork. You couldn't get any further south. And I said, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, no option. If that's what you want, that's what we'll do." And we went down there. You know, we had a tremendous time down there, working with children who had never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ before. And on the 12th of July, 1985, in Bandon, Cork, I wrote this in a diary, three boys came to me about 5:30 on the 12th night. My mind was elsewhere because we're not even walking down Hill Street by that time. But these three guys came, three young lads, and they said, "Andy, we want to get saved." And I led them to the Lord. That was the best 12th I ever had. You know what we've done? I said afterwards, they said, "What are we going to do when we leave here?" I said, "The Lord will look after you." And we started talking about, I don't want to go on too much, but we started talking about the covenant God, that God being a covenant God, and he would look after them, and he would never leave them, and he would never forsake them. And the three guys and myself, we went outside into the field, and we took three sticks, and we nailed them into the ground. We just banged them into the ground. And I had a letter from him, from one of them, 2 years ago, to say that he's going on with the Lord, and he's a member of Cork Baptist Church. See, when Jesus saves, he keeps. Went over to Kilsimmer, and then the Lord led us to Dundee. And I'm working now with young people in Dundee in the bars and nightclubs of the city. And last Friday night week, Pastor, I was sitting with a guy on the street. He's an alcoholic. He's off heroin. And I was sitting with him on the street and we were chatting to him. And he said, you know, Andy, he said, I just can't get off the drink. He says, every morning I get up and I go and I have a tin of special McEwan's brew. It's strong beer. And I said, you know, Billy, you need the Lord. You need to get saved. And he only got me turned around and he said to me, he says, Andy, maybe later. Maybe later. And I says, Billy, you need to get saved now. You need to get saved now. Except the man be born again. He will never see the kingdom of God. He needs to get saved now. And you know, with big tears in his eyes, he says, Andy, I'll maybe do it later. And maybe you're here tonight. And maybe you're saying that. I'll do it later. Don't do it any later. Do it tonight. Choose ye this day who you're going to serve. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. We continue to pray for Andy and Marina and their work in Dundee in Scotland, that the Lord will continue to bless them and use them with the young people and with the children. I still think that he has got a wee inkling for Rangers. Mind you, they would need a lot of prayer at the minute. But anyhow, it's nice to have Andy with us this evening. Good to have you. I think Robbie is somewhere in the building tonight. Good to have our brother Robbie back with us again this evening. And we welcome him warmly in the Lord's name. And if you're joining with us tonight by way of internet, no matter what part of the world you're tuning and watching us from, we welcome you warmly in the Lord's name. It's good to have Billy with us this evening. I said to him to take a moment to explain exactly who he was, because there are folk here tonight, not from the immediate locality. But many years ago, Billy was my pastor in Banbridge, where I was brought up. And I can remember that at my farewell service, Billy preached, and I can remember the message that he preached, and the text is still in my mind. Do you remember it? He said, he's got it. Daniel 12. That's what he preached on. And it's lovely to have Billy in the pulpit again this evening, and we continue to remember him and his work in Scotland also. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, it's our Bible class. We're continuing with our theme on the prophecy of Daniel, and we're looking at Daniel chapter 3, and our subject on Tuesday night is The Heat Is On. On Thursday night at 8 o'clock, it's our prayer meeting. Next Sunday, in the will of the Lord, I hope to be the preacher on both occasions at 11 and 7. At the evening service, Billy Wilson will be along to sing, and one of our own young people, Jessica Gibbon, will be along to give a word of testimony. Do remember our special four meetings that are coming up from the 18th of November right through into December. Four testimonies from ordinary folk from all over the province. And there's little invitation cards out there in the porch, and we want you to take those invitation cards and use them among your unsaved friends and family. And we trust that this will be a time when the gospel will get out even through testimony. Now we're going to turn to our hymn books again. This time to 188. 188, it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. 188, and after we sing this hymn, Word of Truth are going to come and bring to us some more ministry and song, after which God's servant will bring to us God's word for this evening. 188. church, or at least their own choir was in their own church. And it was great that night, and it's great to have them this evening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Word of Life. Rod, I want to read from the book of Colossians tonight, chapter 1. Is anybody here this morning? We heard a tremendous message from this morning. And I hope that we have all taken it to heart. And I just want to take a wee verse out of it. I couldn't improve on what the pastor done this morning. It was really tremendous. Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to you and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. That's what I want to focus on tonight. You knew the grace of God in truth. Now, I was brought up in Princess Street. That's Georgie Wiley. And I used to go to the Presbyterian Church Sunday School, and they told me, it's wonderful knowing the catechism, but you need to know Christ. In the afternoon, we went to Lyn Erin Sunday School, the Church of Ireland. And they told me, it's wonderful knowing the Apostles' Creed, but you need to accept Christ. And then we would go to the Brethren meeting on a Wednesday night, and they told me exactly the same, you need to accept Christ. But the only thing I wanted to be was a footballer. In those days, I wanted to play for Rangers. I think anybody could play for them now. And so I remember a sign for Portadown, and while I was there, I bet against Scotland at junior level and scored 3 goals. Then I played on the amateur team. We won the British Amateur Championship, and then I became a professional with Linfield. And but I had no thought or time or regard for God. Sure, I didn't need God. But then one Sunday night up the town, it was raining, and about 8 of us all came down to hear Pastor Mullen preaching. And so as he preached all the truth, as Andy was saying about, if you're a Sunday school teacher, keep hammering home the word of God. All the truth that I had learned as a boy came all flooding back again. Went back the next Sunday night. And I remember saying to one of my friends, that the next time I go back there, I'm going to get saved. But the devil makes sure you don't get back. They didn't get back. But then a month or two afterwards, I went to the cinema, the student prince, Mario Lanza. And he started singing I Walk With God. And that night in the picture house, I knew that was the answer. So when I come home, I got on my knees and trusted the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Savior. And that was a remarkable change, a remarkable change. And about 3 months afterwards, I felt the call of God. I was playing in the final of one of the cups, and I said, if I have a good game today, Lord, that'll be it. And the next morning in the Daily Mail, the big headlines were, this was Kennedy's cup final. So that was as clear as could be. At the end of the season, I left, went to Bible college and into the ministry. And I've been serving the Lord for over 50 years now. So it's a wonderful thing to be saved, as Andy said. Maybe you were here this morning, and God spoke to your heart this morning. The pastor challenged you about getting saved, about coming to the Savior. And God in His mercy has brought you back again, just to hammer the nail home, just to remind you of what you heard this morning, and to bring to that point of commitment and surrender to Him. Paul talks about knowing the grace of God in truth. The reality of it. The reality of being born again. The reality of having passed from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God. The reality of having our names written in heaven. And you were challenged this morning. And God in His mercy has brought you back again tonight. Tonight, or maybe you've been here many nights and challenged time after time, and yet still in your sin, still outside the family and fold of God. And God, in His mercy, I believe, has this word for you tonight. You see, it's possible to know the grace of God in theory, but not in truth. Andy was testifying there. Andy knew all about it up here. He knew God's way of salvation. He knew how to get saved. He knew how to be born again. He knew the way to the Lord Jesus. He knew he needed to repent and to be converted. If he was ever going to walk the golden streets, he knew the grace of God in theory. But he didn't know it in truth. And I'm sure each and every one here tonight, we know the grace of God either in theory or in truth. Now, what camp are you in tonight? Andy said he knew it in theory because he said, I'll put it off. I'll come one day, someday. And of course, as you look around, you know that this works because you've seen the grace of truth in others, the reality of Christ. And you know that one day, someday, you're going to have to come the same way. You're going to have to be born again if you're ever going to see the kingdom of heaven. You need to repent and be converted if you're ever going to walk those golden streets. You know that. And the big question comes, when? When are you going to take this step and trust the Lord Jesus? When are you going to turn to him from your idols? That's the big challenge. You see, there's this awful danger in delay. This danger in delay. And he said he would wait. He knew the grace of God in theory. But he would wait until he experienced the grace of God in truth, in truth. When it became a reality. Barnabas went down to Antioch. And when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. The grace of God is unmistakable. Can't hide the grace of God. Pour unto all around, obvious to all that you've been with Jesus. When he saw the grace of God, he was glad. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But unfortunately, not all have accepted or trusted or been born again. So the wee challenge to your heart tonight is why? Why do you delay? Why do you procrastinate? There are these dangers. There's a danger the desire could go. That he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off and not without remedy. We fella went to London. He was working there. And he was working not far from Big Ben. And he was on the phone to his mother and said, oh dear mother, this Big Ben annoys me. Striking every hour, every quarter, every half hour, every three quarter. I'm really disturbed by it. Perturbed through it. I hear it chiming, chiming, chiming. And after 2 weeks, his mother rang and said, hey, what about Big Ben? He said, Big who? No longer did he hear it. Couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear it. Got a picture of you tonight. How that God has been speaking to you. Convicting you of your sin. Convicting you of your lifestyle. Showing you your need. Like Big Ben ringing clear. Week after week and week after week and year after year. And yet tonight, no Big Ben. No move. Not perturbed or disturbed. Not annoyed. Not annoyed. You got used to it. Used to hearing the gospel. Used to hear the pleading of the preacher. Used to the knocking on the heart's door. You've got used to it. No longer concerned. no longer bothered, no longer burdened. The desire has gone. That's the danger. That's the danger. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Receive it. Don't resent it. Don't reject it. But receive it. Able to save your soul. Oh, the danger and delay, the desire could go. But the ability could go. The ability to understand and to comprehend. The ability to be able to perceive and to discuss and to decide. Now, I'm getting on. And I went to the shop, Iceland, Motherwell. Went into the shop. What am I here for? Forgot. Forgot. Didn't know. Only I was down at the bus stop, it suddenly come back what I was there for. But the mind. How tragic if your mind goes and you're not saved. No longer able to comprehend the gospel. No longer able to discuss or to decide. No longer. That's why if you have your faculties, then use them tonight. Receive the grace of God and truth and truth. While you have the ability. Oh, don't put them off again. If he's knocking, let him in. If he's calling, respond. The ability could go. And then the Spirit could go. The Lord could let you go. That's tragic. A young man came running to him one day, the rich young ruler, concerned about eternal life, wanted to know what he had to do. And the Lord told him, said, all these commandments I have kept from my youth up. And Jesus, there's one thing you're lacking, son. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. He went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. You know something? You know what it was said? The Savior loved him. He loved him and he let him go. He let him go. He didn't run after him to discuss. Didn't run after him to barter with him. To make it easier for him. He let him go. He let him go. How tragic if he lets you go. But he loves you. He couldn't love you anymore by going to the cross to die for you. To shed his precious blood for you. Delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. Couldn't love you anymore. But he let him go. He let him go. Oh, when I was under conviction, that was my big problem. The price too high. The price too high. What about playing with Linfield? And what about this, that, and the other? And yet the Lord comes in and fills the vacuum. Gives you a new life. With new desires and new aspirations and new ambitions and new ambitions. Oh, the danger. The danger and delay. Oh, don't delay. Today, right this moment, if he's calling you, respond. Don't wait till the end of the meeting. Call upon him now. And he reminded you, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him now. Danger and delay. The desire could go. The ability could go. The Lord could let you go. Life could go. Life could go. Health is no guarantee to life. Youth is no guarantee to life. That's why we need to know this grace of God and truth. Because of the uncertainty of life. Nobody knows what a day brings forth. Nobody knows. That's why it's a good thing to be ready to meet God. Luke chapter 12, there was this rich farmer. The Lord said he was already rich. But he was a very industrious man. Because they tell me, if you're good to the land will be good to you. Must have worked hard. He had a bumper crop. And he said to himself, my barns are not big enough for this. I'm going to have to knock them down, and I'm going to have to build bigger and better and greater. And then some things he realized. In all this working, it was the first time he realized he had a soul. Didn't realize that before. But he realized he had a soul. He said, I said to my soul, I have much goods laid up for me. For many years, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Architect. Had an appointment with him. Appointment with the builder. Going to see him. Appointment with the town planning. But one appointment he didn't reckon on. Hebrews 9 and 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. He didn't think of this appointment. And that night, the Lord said, thou fool, this night shall be required of you. You see, the Lord was never in this man's plans. Is he in your plans? You say, like James, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go here, I'll go there, the Lord willing. Is the Lord in your plans? Hope he is. Hope he is. Don't delay. Life could go. No man knows what they bring forth. And death is unavoidable. Do you know the figures for dying? One out of one dies. That's it. I remember going to see this lady in the hospital, talking about getting saved. She started crying. She says, I'm not going to die. I said, oh no. Not only do you need the Lord because you're going to die, you need him because you're going to live. Talking to an atheist, went to see him in the hospital. You were talking, and I said, well, you've had a good run. And you've worked hard, and you've had a good life. Lovely home and lovely family. Well, you've done well for yourself. And I said, I've had a good run. The Lord has been good to me. He has blessed me and undertaken for me in a marvelous way. And I said, if death is not the end, then I'm not really worried. Because I've had a wonderful time going on with the Lord and proving the sufficiency of his grace. I've enjoyed walking and talking with him. But if death is not the end, where does it leave you? He was coming out of the theater crying, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared to meet Him? You need to know Him if you're going to die. You need to know Him if you want to live. For Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. The danger in delay, desire could go, ability could go, the Lord could let you go, life could go, and the church could go. The church could go. Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, night, or noon, but oh, I know he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And he says, I'm on my way back. I'm coming back for you. But he doesn't tell us when. He says, of that day and hour knoweth no man. But you watch, you watch, you watch. And if he was to come back this present moment, would you rise to meet him or remain? Would you be lifted or left? That's the challenge. Because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be changed, and we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, it's only those who know the grace of God and truth will rise. You've known the grace of God in theory for too long. It's time for action now. It's time you receive the grace of God in truth. That you acknowledge, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. I've fallen short of your glory. I realize that. But Lord Jesus, you went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners. You died for me. You shed your precious blood for me, Lord, without which there is no forgiveness, there is no cleansing. You died, Lord Jesus, and 3 days you were raised again to be my shepherd. Lord, I'm going to trust you tonight. Like Andy, you had it all in the head. Then one night he went to the high school, then up to Ronnie's. That night he knew the grace of God and truth. You were out this morning. God spoke to your heart this morning. And he's coming back again tonight to speak to it again. The challenge is, what are you going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Going to go out the same way? Still in your sin, still on the Broadway, uncertain of the future, not right for heaven or home? Or will you turn to Him tonight and really trust Him? You've known the grace of God in theory for far too long. Bring it down 12 inches and know the grace of God in truth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The question we Jack Cordner asked, Andy, hey, are you saved? What about you tonight? Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts. We believe, Lord, that You took us to this passage tonight just to back home what the pastor said this morning. You were taking a dealing with somebody this morning, Lord, and you brought them back in again tonight. That they might hear once again their need of the Savior, their need of the Lord Jesus, their need to repent and to be converted. And pray tonight, Lord, that you'll give grace. And some of us, Lord, are getting on. And we just know this grace of God in theory. We haven't really trusted thy dear Son. And the days are swiftly passing, Lord, and we're still in our sin, some in the congregation. And Lord, we pray for them tonight that they realize the urgency. As the pastor reminded us this morning, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come now and reason together, saith the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Father, we pray that you'll give them this needed grace tonight, that they, Lord, might come to bow the knee and to trust thy dear Son. Lord Jesus, keep knocking until they open. Keep shining until they see it clearly that tonight will be a night of salvation. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the way you lead and guide and direct, for the ministry and song, for Andy's testimony and for your word, Lord. We pray it has dovetailed to your glory and the salvation of precious souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. Don't delay any longer. Don't go out saying another meeting, but tonight have a word with the pastor or some of us if you really want to know the grace of God in truth. You've known it in theory far too long. It's time you knew it in truth.